As we read God's Word, out of respect to our Lord tonight, I'm so glad we have a Bible that we can trust. A perfect Bible. We don't need any other books. We have the perfect book. We don't take away from the book. We have the perfect book, and that is the God's Holy Word, the Word of God. Thank you for being here tonight. We're in Ephesians chapter number 4. I really want to help you tonight. And God has laid a burden on my heart in a tremendous way to help you tonight. I am convinced that my subject tonight, if you will listen, will help you. And if you don't listen, you're going to suffer. I'm convinced of that tonight. I'm convinced this particular subject I'm dealing with is probably the single most difficult yet most important subject that you will find as a believer in Christ. Look, if you would, at verse 30, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. And I feel like that we gloss over this way too quickly. I want to preach on forgiven. Forgiven. Look, if you would, at verse number 30. The Bible said, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Thank you, and you may be seated. The truth of the matter is, forgiveness is the single greatest truth that we find in the Bible. And I believe that tonight. Aren't you glad you can have forgiveness with God? Forgiveness with God does not come because we've joined a Baptist church or any church for that matter. Forgiveness with God comes as we trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Amen. That is, that we realize that we're sinners and we can't go to heaven on our own. The only way we can go to heaven is through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for that. But not only are we to be right with God and have forgiveness with God, but there's also then the forgiveness that needs to be toward other people. And quite frankly, there is an unforgiving spirit that kind of grows within us whenever we feel like we're wronged, or whenever we feel like our expectations are not met, or whenever we feel like that someone has wronged us, or someone has robbed us of whatever it is that we feel as though they had no right to do. It affects our relationships. It affects among believer to unbeliever, unbelievers to unbelievers, spouses to spouses, children to parents, siblings to siblings, and sadly, even believers to other believers. I have literally gone to funerals where families are totally divided. I went to a funeral recently where, when I got there, I went to the veteran cemetery to do the funeral for the family, and really working a lot with military and knowing how military works and protocol and all those things. We were going through the protocol, and we were standing there, you know, ready for, you know, getting ready to go up to do our little processional end. Up comes the lady whose father that I was doing the funeral for. She comes up to me, and she's crying, and she's very upset, and she's all frustrated. And the mortician standing right next to me, he's out of Sacramento, and he looks at me, and I look at her, and he looks at me, and we look at each other, and like, what's going on? And she's all upset because now her siblings, who she hasn't spoken to in 2 years, arrive for the funeral. Even in death, they could not put aside their unforgiving spirit. And I wonder how sad it is how many Christians go to their deathbed with unforgiveness in their hearts. I wonder how many people do. I wonder how many marriages literally go into divorce because of unforgiveness. I wonder how many communities are destroyed because of unforgiveness. I wonder how many churches have split and divided, and some literally have closed their doors because of unforgiveness. I wonder how many governmental battles have been fought because of unforgiveness. It is a sad, sad thing when you consider that God makes it very clear that we are to learn and understand what forgiveness is all about. It's sort of the basis of all relationships. I'm going to tell you this. There have been times that in any relationship I've ever had, be it my wife, be it my children, be it someone I grew up in, be it my family, be it my siblings, that there have been times that I've had to forgive them because of something they have done. And I must tell you that I have been the recipient of those who have forgiven me for things I've done. Perhaps maybe you within this room have had to forgive me for things. Jesus speaks of that. Jesus, of course, is the wisest and greatest master teacher that ever walked on the planet. And Jesus said these words when he spoke about this subject of forgiveness. And here's what he said. He said, "You've heard that it was said of them of old time, 'Thou shalt not kill.' And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, 'Thou fool,' shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison." God is concerned with reconciliation. God wants there to be reconciliation. That's forgiveness. In fact, Galatians chapter 6 says it like this, and Paul writes, and he says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." I just want to ask you tonight, have you ever inadvertently done something that has hurt someone or offended somebody? How many of you have ever had this happen? Not only have you inadvertently done something like that, but you didn't know you did it until they came to you and said, "You hurt me." Anyone ever had that happen? Anyone ever done something really stupid like cut somebody off in the road and you didn't mean to? And you know, you wish you could pull them over and say, "You know, I'm really sorry. I know it was really stupid on my part. I just kind of messed up." You can't quite do that. But you know what? We can understand what it means to forgive. Because anyone of you in here ever been cut off yourself? What do you think about that? Are you willing to forgive them? Maybe they did something stupid. Maybe they had a bad day. Maybe they just got off of work and their mind was numb and all of a sudden, you know, "Oh, I'm sorry," you know, and they just cut you off. I had one lady, she cut me off not too long ago, and I could see her. She looked at me and she goes, "I'm sorry." And I just blew the horn and say, "Gotcha, man." But the truth of the matter is, forgiveness is important. Now, we're doing a study on one another passages. Can I be honest with you in here? Every one of us in here are imperfect creatures. We belong to one another. We are part of this family we call the church. And we realize that there are times that we are going to do things inadvertently or stupidly, or in anger, or in disappointment, we're going to do something, and God says that we need to reconcile. Look, the Lord's Supper is coming up next Sunday night. And I think it's important that we be ready for the Lord's Supper. Amen. Amen. One of the ways to get ready is not only to be right with God, to be right with others. Reconciliation. I'm talking to some couples in here that you don't know what it is to say, I'm sorry. I'm talking to some people in here that think everybody else does everything wrong. I'm the only one that does it right. You don't know anyone like that, do you? It's amazing to me, if you've never practiced the word I'm sorry, it might be a good idea to start tonight. Because forgiveness is the key to everything. It's the key. It really is. It is a tremendous truth. I'm talking to some teenagers. You might need to forgive your parents, because I'm going to tell you something. Teenagers, your parents are not perfect. They're not. I used to tell my kids when I was growing up, I used to tease them, and I'd say something like this. I said, I know everything there is that a human being can ever know. Now, they know that wasn't true, and I was just teasing them. But there have been times I've had to go to my kids and say, hey, I'm sorry, I messed up. We mess up. Human relationships. That's what we are. Now God in this passage gives us some three, I would call them great truths or aspects of forgiveness that are important. Things that we, if we recognize forgiveness, we see it biblically, we understand what we have, we understand what we need to do, and how do we do that, and how does that all work in our life, and all that God is telling me about forgiveness. What does he mean? Well, first of all, write this one down. It should be in your notes. We must have number one, an awareness of the Holy Spirit in our life. An awareness of the Holy Spirit in our life. Can I tell you this tonight? If you are a believer, a genuine believer in Jesus Christ, you are indwelt with the Holy Spirit the moment you got saved. Now, you may not have realized it, but I know that the night that I trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, I didn't realize it, I had no idea. All I know is that I was a sinner. I couldn't go to heaven because I was a good boy, or because I was a church member, or because I've been baptized, or because I was living a good life, or any of those other things. I'm only going to go to heaven because of putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And the moment I did that, then what happens is, now I'm indwelt, the Bible says, with the Holy Spirit. You see, I felt absolutely horrible, the fact that I was a sinner, and I knew I'd have something done, and I'm sure all of you are relating to where I'm coming from in this. I'm giving a personal testimony, but this is probably everyone's personal testimony. And so we feel guilty and we feel dirty and we feel miserable and we know we can't go to heaven because we're good, because we know we're not good. And so we just trust in Christ, and then when we're cleansed, we're forgiven, we say, wow. In fact, I will tell you this, getting saved was so wonderful, I wish I'd get saved all over again. But you're only saved one time. You're not saved again and again and again. It's one time. Amen. Thank God for that. But just like me, I thought getting married was wonderful. But I want to get married again and again and again. If I did, I probably wouldn't be your pastor, all right? But you get my point. Wonderful experience, but I didn't realize the next morning when I woke up, I had the Holy Spirit indwelled in me. Now when I got up the next morning, I got up and all of a sudden I went back to some old habits, and the Holy Spirit said, don't do that. Wow. Who was that? I wasn't aware of the Holy Spirit at that point. I mean, when I trusted Christ on October 22nd, 1972, I had no idea. I didn't realize. No one said. Bill Barkey, who was the missionary intern in our church at that time, said to me, he didn't say, now look, when you get saved, I want you to, you're going to be indwelled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's going to be teaching you and showing you things and working your life and all of those things. I just want you to be aware of that. He never said a word about that. That became very real to me the next morning. And so tonight, Those of us who are sitting here, you need to become aware of the Holy Spirit if you've not done so already. And I'm talking about the Holy Spirit is literally God, the Holy Spirit. He is a person. He is not a thing or an influence. He's a person that's in our life, that's working in such a way that when I become aware of His presence in my life, man, it causes me to want to all of a sudden be very mindful of what He tells me. Can I remind you of this tonight? The Bible was written by the Holy Spirit of God through men. Where did you get that from? The Bible. 2 Peter 1, verse 21. Holy men of God spake because they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Spirit of God. He's the one that wrote the Bible. And so when I read the Bible, it's no wonder as I'm reading it and opening up and letting God's Word speak to me that I got the Holy Spirit of God saying, man, you shouldn't have said that, you shouldn't have done that. You should have treated this person differently. You should have done this, you've done that. All of a sudden, it's like, wow, I didn't even know that. Now, with that in mind, I have to keep in mind, letter A, that the Holy Spirit can be grieved. That's what it says. That I can grieve the Holy Spirit. And that means if I grieve the Holy Spirit, that means that grieving causes me to move to the area of quenching the Holy Spirit. And when I grieve and quench the Holy Spirit, what happens is I forfeit the power and blessing of Almighty God. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, quench not the Spirit. In other words, when I've done that, then I'm going to forfeit the blessing and the power of God and the presence of God and the joy of walking with the Lord, because what had happened is I'd quenched the Holy Spirit, and it'd be foolish on my part to quench the Holy Spirit with an unforgiving spirit. It would be foolish on my part to quench His power out of my life, since honestly I have to rely on the Holy Spirit to live my Christian life. You see, if I quench Him out, I've quenched out the very power that I need to be able to live the Christian life. And so if I just kind of quench Him out because I'm not going to forgive her, I'll never forgive her. And if you want to know if you have an unforgiving spirit, if you remember what someone did 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 5 years ago, 3 months ago, 2 weeks ago, you have an unforgiving spirit. And what you're doing is you're nothing more than just, it really, we're grieving the Holy Spirit. And honestly, look, you can't, hey, here's how it works. You can't have the filling of the Holy Spirit in your life as long as we have the filling of an unforgiving spirit in our life. We can't. And if that's the case, no wonder I'm stumbling in my Christian life trying to get through, because the Holy Spirit says, you already quenched me out. Now you're on your own. You're trying to run it yourself. You can't run your Christian life on your own. You must have the power of the Holy Spirit. And so it's foolish for a person to quench or grieve, if you would, grieve away the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. So I have to be aware of the Holy Spirit. So whenever sometimes, and I'll be honest with you, I got to be honest with you. It's really easy to get angry at somebody else. It's really easy to do that. And I got to tell you something else. Sometimes when we get angry at somebody else, it's really easy to enjoy it. Boy, it is quiet tonight. Thank God it is. Because I'm telling you right now, I am hitting the nail on the head. Because it's really easy for us to enjoy it. And what we do if we enjoy it is we grieve the Holy Spirit. Boy, we'll grieve Him. And all of a sudden, the very power, that where the peace comes, that where the joy comes, that where love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith, and all of that is now just eliminated right out of my life because I have an unforgiving spirit. Here's what God says. There has to be that awareness of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm 54 years old, so I'm going to be 55. Can't wait, double nickel. Amen. That means I can go to Denny's and get a senior menu now. Right? You know, it's kind of a bummer because, you know, I always thought 55 was a golden age. Now everywhere I go is 60 and above is now considered seniors. Like, where do they change the times? I get there and now they're going to change it. But I want to tell you, you won't live very long in this life without someone offending you or hurting your feelings or upsetting you or angering you. And you're going to be tested in the area that I'm talking to you about. But when you have an awareness of the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden you're like, wait, the Holy Spirit, I got to keep that in mind. I don't want to grieve him. Second of all, he may guide you. See, the Holy Spirit's our guide. In other words, if I want to know which way to go, which direction to go in my life, and what God wants me to do, and what job he wants me to take, and how he wants me to handle this day, and how he wants me to go to this job interview, or how he wants me to take this job project that I have to do, or how does he want me to pay that bill, or how does he want me to get through this next phase in my life, or what about when I have to face this surgery, or how about wisdom to raise my children? In other words, I just basically talked about everything in life you really need is the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And if I am surrendered to the Holy Spirit, he will guide me in those areas because I can't do it on my own. I need his power. Otherwise, I have to listen to Dr. Phil and they'll tell me how to do it. And if you listen to Dr. Phil, he'll tell you how to run your household, how to run yours, and it'll be unbiblical. And I don't care how popular he is and all the rest, and he and Oprah Winfrey and all that crowd, you need to turn that junk off, turn off ABC, and get into the KJV. It's going to make all the difference in the world. I mean, I'm just preaching tonight, all right? I'm helping us to understand. And men, having the awareness of the Holy Spirit in my life is not only that I don't want to grieve him, but I want him to guide me. I certainly don't want to have an unforgiving spirit that would crush him out of my life, that he would say, all right, if that's the way they want to live and that's their attitude and that's their heart, then let them have it. Because there's a time when we can do that. But if we allow him to work in our life, he will guide our lives daily. John 16:13 says it like this, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you in all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit of God guides you through life, gives you comfort, gives you peace. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. And bring all things to your remembrance, and whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. However, the quickest way to ruin the work of God in your life and my life is to develop an unforgiving spirit. And unforgiveness turns into bitterness. So one of the things we learn about forgiveness is we have to be aware as believers in Christ, as Christians, not like the world. We understand the world's different, but we understand we as believers who know Christ that we have to be aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. That is key. That's critical. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want to live my life without the Holy Spirit to guide me. Do you feel as I do? Amen. But then there's secondly, and I'm going to hurry on this point, but the secondly is the removal of crippling attitude. Crippling attitude. I like what Warren Wiersbe said. He said, an unforgiving spirit is the devil's playground. And before long, it becomes the Christian's battleground. Man, that's good. In other words, it may become for us the playground, you know, and so we have that, and here's what God says. God says you have to deal with it. Now look, I'm not promising you tonight as I'm preaching this, it's going to be easy. Because it's not. I've been wrong. Hey, I'm going to tell you, you can't be a pastor for nearly 32 years and not be wronged by church members. I've been wronged by church members. I've been wronged by community members. I've been wronged by people to come into our church and tell us things and do things and say things. I've been wronged by all of those. I've got a lot of my friends that have dropped out of the ministry because they've been wronged. You know what the problem is? Bitterness. They're not in the ministry tonight because of bitterness. You know why? There's some people that are not in church tonight because of bitterness. They quit coming to church because they got bitter. They got an unforgiving spirit. Somewhere along the way, somebody hurt them. Hey, don't get me wrong. I understand. I have feelings too. I've been through it too. I know what they're talking about. But let me tell you this. I do not let someone's treatment of me guide me into whether or not I go to church or not, whether I serve God or not. We have to rise above that. Amen. Man, I've had people make fun of me. I had a guy one time years ago, really strange. He came to me and he said, and he talked to me a little bit, you know, I said something about preaching. And he says, man, you need some help in that area. That's what he said to me. In 6 months, I did his funeral. And I'm not saying because he said that to me, that's why. But I'm going to tell you this. With that attitude, you just wonder if God may have said, you know what? If you're that bitter, I better just take you on home. Maybe God had to spank him when he got out. No, I'm just teasing, but you get my point. Look, don't let stuff be rooted in your life. Don't let those things, get rid of those things out of your life. And so God says that we need to remove. Now he gives us a list in verse 31. He gives us a list of things. Number one, that we notice here, and I'm going to give you the 2 points, the roots of bitterness. And then second of all, he gives you the revelation of bitterness. First of all, the root of bitterness is clearly there. It says bitterness. That's an intense hatred that's seething inside. And seething means that it's continually there burning on the back burner of your life. The word wrath means, it's an interesting word. Guess what the word is? Thermos. Sounds like anything you ever heard before? We all have had thermoses, haven't we? Has the idea of that which is a wild rage, burning, or fury. And anger is a state of great internal smoldering to the point of holding a grudge. And here's what God says. Those are roots of bitterness. Something I found. I found about roots. Roots are strange things that we face in life because, you know, roots can go real deep. And they go really deep. In fact, you know what I found out about roots? The deeper they go, they're looking for another source to be fed. And so if you have roots of bitterness in your life, it's going to go deeper and deeper and deeper. And as long as you keep feeding them, but guess what happens if you stop feeding the roots? They die. But what feeds them are things like anger and wrath. It's really easy to do that. Really easy. And God says we need to remove these crippling attitudes out of our life because they're there. Those are the roots. But look at the revelation of bitterness. The next three he mentions here. He said there's clamor. That's the shout or the outcry of strife. Yelling, screaming, striking back, verbally. Sometimes we hear that. You hear your neighbors yelling, screaming, top of their lungs. You know what it is? It shows there's a root of bitterness somewhere in their life. Do ride alongs with cops when you go to the other. It's 415, they call 415 verbal. That's the screaming and yelling. So we get there and they say, okay, this one's your call. So, oh no, you guys take care of this. It's because mostly it's domestic. Because what you have is you have a husband and a wife, they're screaming and yelling at each other. Neighbors are calling it in. And all I can say is that's probably a root of bitterness somewhere there. Because it's true. It's just revealing it. All that does is reveal, and God says that these things are revelations of that. The slander is the defamation. That's the next level. What we do is we start yelling at the person that maybe we're angry with if we let this bitterness begin to take deeper root. And then we start slandering them, and everybody tells me how bad they really are. It's so funny. Human nature. Sometimes couples will do this. They'll come. They'll say, can I come and talk to you? Okay. So they come and talk to me. And here's what happens. The husband comes in and tells me how bad his wife is. The wife comes in and tells me how bad her husband is. And I'm thinking, good night. Why'd you guys ever get married then? It's not really. There's something in their heart that we got to root out. The bottom line is unforgiveness. How am I doing tonight? Are you with me? I'm telling you, it's there. It's there. God says that we have to be aware of that and become very aware of the fact we have the Holy Spirit, but we have to look and get rid of these roots of bitterness because they're just getting deeper and deeper. And what happens is we find ourselves with malice, which is that deep-seated bad attitude and bad feeling. And God even makes an astounding statement in Proverbs when he says this, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You say, all right, preacher, what do we have to do? There needs to be an admission of guilt. Have to admit it. We must admit we did wrong instead of trying to blame others. We did wrong. I did not go, but my wife and my son went to a lady that came here to, I think, Solano Community College. Her name is Janina Swinska. I wrote her name down. Swinska. That's her name. Jewish lady that was in the prison camp in one of the concentration camps in Germany. She talked about her horrific upbringing and some of the horrible atrocities she went through. It was miraculous how she's even alive today. Some of the things that she had been through, she'd been raped and she'd been beaten and she'd been put in the gas chambers and she'd been put, but she survived somehow. And people would ask her, well, how do you deal with this personally without being bitter and angry at these people? And How do you handle that? Here's what she said. She said, forgiveness is not for them, it's for me. And can I tell you this tonight? Forgiveness is not for somebody else, it's for you. It's for you. You see, that's what it's about. And the key is if we admit we did wrong instead of trying to blame others, what a relief that is off of us. But then there's one more. This passage is almost incredible. Look at verse 32. The Bible says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know what he says? He says, I want you to realize that if you get rid of that crippling attitude out of your life and that which is hurting you and you become aware of the Holy Spirit, now you apply, if you would, biblical grace to others. And all three of these graces that are mentioned in verse 32 are characteristics and reflections of Jesus Christ. Let me give them to you. Number one, kindness. Can we admit tonight that God is very kind to us? He's very kind. Luke 6:35 says, but love your enemies and do good and lend and hoping for nothing again, and for your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. How many of you ever said something like this? I mean, if I were God, and looking at what the world and the conditions of the world, man, there's just some people that I just take right out. You know what? God's kind to them just like he's to you. Be ye kind. I'm to be kind. I'm not going to tell you that I'm always, but I should be kind. Someone cut me off, be kind. Just consider they had a bad day. Someone says something to me and snaps out here in the lobby, be kind. I can't tell you there's not times that I wanted to say, well, you know, and say a few things. Be kind. That's the biblical grace we're to put on. You see, maybe the person who had that, maybe they have an unforgiveness somewhere in their heart. Maybe it's not toward you. It could be toward something else or somebody else. But what God is reminding me is that forgiveness is for me. Because what I understand is that kindness is an important part of my Christian responsibility. I want to be kind. I do want to be kind. In fact, I'm looking for ways that I can be kind. I try to be. A note, card, letter, gift card, whatever I can. I want to be kind. What was it Will Rogers used to say? Be kind to everybody because everybody's having a bad day. I know that every person in this room here, every one of you, you have bad days. You know why? Because I do. I have bad days. Can I tell you my worst day of the week? Are you ready? It's Monday. It's my worst day. Not because I have a bad Sunday. It's just Monday's my worst day. Because that's the day the devil attacks me the most. Boy, you sure blew that message. You sure didn't act right. That wasn't too sharp what you did. Sound familiar? You know what happens? He's implanting things in my life to make me bitter toward the ministry, which in turn can get bitter toward God, which in turn can take me out, which if someone said something to me on Sunday can become really an attack for me on Monday. How am I doing? You guys with me? Look, I'm being very transparent with you tonight. Because that's how he works. Well, so-and-so didn't talk to me. They didn't come by and shake my hand. And all I've done for them. They don't even care. You know what I mean? Now, I know I'm being a little bit overdramatic, but isn't it true how we have these thoughts in our minds? We need to get that out. Kindness is the critical grace that is, as we root these things out, you say, how do we root them out? Well, apply biblical grace and God will begin to show you. You need to get this out of your life and that out of your life. Secondly, notice he said tenderheartedness. That means to be compassionate with a deep feeling inside that I'm tender. It's yearning within me. They'll be tenderhearted. If my enemy has a difficulty or someone has mistreated me, if I can help them, man, that'd be a blessing. I remember several years ago when we first moved here. We've been here quite a while, and we moved into this house, and we got this house. We got put out a couple homes, and so we got put out of this. We got out of this home. The owner said, "You either move out or buy." We didn't want the house, so we said, okay, we'll move out. He said, okay, it's your option. Got 30 days. I think he kind of worked with us after that, but he wanted us out, and so we said, all right, and so we did. We moved into this home. We lived on the corner, and we decided that we were going to take our German Shepherd and put him in the backyard. We had a little backyard back there. Well, I had a neighbor that was a guy who was like mid-40s. But he was the kind of guy that mid-40s, but he never worked. He was also the kind of guy that liked to put his wife out to work, and he sat home and kind of, he was the mayor of the streets. You know what I'm talking about. You guys know where I'm coming from. So I remember that he came, and, you know, if my dog would bark, he'd call me. He'd greet me, introduce me, and all that kind of thing. He'd call me and all that, you know. And then he started about my dog would bark. I mean, you know, and the dog would bark. Dogs do bark sometimes. I remember one time he called me. It was in the middle of the day. Now, I didn't leave my dogs out at night to bark or anything like that. I didn't leave my dog out. But during the daytime, he called me. It's about 2:30. He calls me up and he says, "Hey, your dog's barking." I said, "Oh, okay, I'm sorry." And he said, "Yeah, he's barking. I'm trying to take a nap." I'm like, "You bum, go out and work. You won't need to worry about a nap." Amen. Now that's what I'm thinking in my heart. That's a real sweet spirit, isn't it? Okay. Then he made something to me that really got my goat, but the Holy Spirit helped me to maintain a spiritual level here. Here's what he said. He said, "You know, I've been thinking about this." He said, "You know, if you'll take your dog to the doctor, to the veterinarian, and if you'll have his larynx cut out, I'll pay for it so he won't bark anymore." Now, here's what I thought about saying. I'm thinking about taking you to the doctor and have your larynx taken out. And I'll pay for it. You guys ever felt that way? That's what I wanted to say. And besides, while you're in there, let's just kind of cut out a few other things, you know. Maybe put a heart transplant in there for you. I want to say that. But I didn't. Here's what I said to him. You ready? I said, "I tell you what. I said, if you want to do that, I'll do that. If you will get saved, I'll do that. If that's what's keeping you from trusting Christ as Savior, I'm willing to do that." I never heard another word from him. Oh, by the way, anyone ever get any calls that people aggravate you? You know, I don't mean neighbor calls. I mean like people call you up and trying to sell you things. You can't get them off the phone. God told me something to really work. Share the gospel with them. They'll get off the phone real quick. But tenderheartedness always works. It always works. There's one more. Forgiveness. That's what we're build. This whole message is building up to all the way down. Now we can understand what he's saying. This means, to forgiveness means to deliver, or if you would, to relieve one of a debt or wrong. In fact, Jesus gave this in the model prayer when he said, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." We relieve them of their guilt. You know, an unforgiving spirit is an attempt by a person to control the other person or to cause the other person some type of personal suffering. That's what unforgiveness does. However, God says we are to forgive not for their sake or our sake necessarily, but for Christ's sake. Doesn't he say that? Forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Aren't you glad he forgave you? Amen. Forgiveness brings peace and restoration. In fact, Psalm 133 says it like this: "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Wow. Amazing. Amazing. Maybe tonight you're dealing with an unforgiving spirit. I don't know what it is. You've been wronged. And you probably have. I wouldn't doubt the fact that you've been wronged, because most people don't want to carry around an unforgiving spirit just because they want to. A spouse has done something. A child has done something. The government has done something. A pastor has done something. A church member has done something. Someone in the community has said something. Your neighbor has done something. It's real easy.
to carry an unforgiving spirit.
That unforgiving spirit turns into bitterness. And it can go on for months and months and months and years, and the Holy Spirit is quenched and no prayer is ever answered and everything just seems to fall apart and we can't figure out why we can't, you know. And so sometimes people have bitterness and they'll divorce and go to another marriage and they think, you know, it's the other person. They'll get in there and they have the same attitude. You know what I found out? If you have a bitter spirit, that bitter spirit will go from that person to another person to another person. Hebrews says it like this: looking diligently lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Pretty powerful. Pretty powerful. I'm going to tell you this tonight and I'll quit. We will always be challenged in the area of forgiveness. Always. There will always be challenges about that. We're always going to struggle. We're always going to feel like if someone hurt us, the way that we hurt them is by not forgiving them. We're always going to feel like that if we can control them and if they're at our beck and call because we have an unforgiving spirit, we can do that. We all struggle with that. The problem is we hurt ourselves as much as the person that we think we're hurting. And even more important of all, we have grieved the Holy Spirit in our life. We've grieved Him. And when we grieve the Holy Spirit, then we can quench the Holy Spirit and there's no power, there's no joy, there's no peace. There's none of those things that God says that comes with being a believer and living a Christian life, and there'll never be peace. God says, forgive one another. We need to forgive. Maybe tonight, God's spoken to your heart. What area in your life do you need to settle? I'm going to pray, and we're going to stand to our feet, and we're going to not sing. Our eyes will be closed. I'm going to invite, maybe families need to come and pray. Maybe teenagers need to go get some parents and come and say, I need to pray with you. I want you to forgive me. Maybe husbands and wives, perhaps Christians to Christians, we just need, and maybe Christians to God, we need to ask God's forgiveness. If you're here tonight without Christ, I urge you to come and meet Christ as Savior. Ask His forgiveness. That's the starting point. Oh, I tell you, I'm being real honest with you. I love you. And I know that I'm preaching something that is very, very tough to preach. But I'm preaching what I believe God's laid on my heart tonight to help you. I pray that we'll learn the secret of forgiveness. Heavenly Father,